Hello, and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. It's a different show. I'm still Liz Loza, and still, Lord, still sitting next to me is Matt Harmon. But also joining us are the fantasy footballers, Andy, this one, and Mike.
This one?
Oh, fantastic. Jason.
Hot start.
Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
I guess we're okay with being here now.
Really excited.
This guy.
Jason, your lack of a bald head, I was just like, oh no, is it Josh? Is it Jason?
The hair shockingly grew back enough to keep it, but it'll go bald again at some point.
When I saw you in Tampa, I went up to you personally and was like, I dig this look. I thought it was very striking.
I appreciate it.
Striking, yes.
As someone that is deathly afraid of losing my hair. I thought it was comforting that you looked so good. I was like, if Jason can do it, I feel like I have some decent chances.
Thanks. I feel like when you're bald, you can't also be overweight. So I really got to work on one.
Jason, we do not body shame on the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast.
You got the good beard and the glasses.
Yeah,
which is
the glasses
huge.
Help. I mean, when you've got a really nice beard and glasses, you're pretty much handsome, right, Harmon?
I would totally agree.
Looking good over there.
I would totally agree.
Would you guys like to individually introduce yourselves, please?
Andy Holloway.
Did you forget who you were?
I'm the tallest of the group. So there you go.
I'm that guy. Jason.
I'll live that down.
I'm the funniest and the one with the best takes.
Yeah.
I'm Mike. Hey.
The hitman.
No last name. No. Just some tattoos.
I'm going for a movement. There's a lot of people like Zendaya. They're getting away with one name, Madonna.
You think Mike is really going to be the name?
Like Britney did it.
Oh, well, so now that you put yourself on that playing field.
She did make the transition, though.
Yeah. I mean, like, when I say Britney, you know who I'm talking about. I want people to say Mike, and they know who you're talking
about.
Well,
you know, then I think you're going to have to shave your head, because that seemed to help her transition.
Yeah. Mm,
I look good with a shaved head.
That worked for Britney.
It did.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? The residency in Vegas, secondary. Yes. But enough about Britney, Madonna, Zendaya, like that guy. I want to hear all about how the three, and Matt, I'm sure, wants to hear about it as well, how the three of you came together to create what is now a fantasy empire.
What's great is that Matt actually he's seen some of the beginnings of the fantasy empire, because we used to record our show in my son's upstairs bedroom. And you actually visited a long time ago and was one of probably our only in-bedroom guest.
In-bedroom
guest, which is a rare honor.
You went to Arizona.
In-bedroom
guest. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did. When I was doing my cross-country trip, the first summer I lived out here in L.A.
Yeah, your dog was out with you,
yeah,
too.
Charlie was with me. By the way, now we have to pay him royalties because we mentioned which is a bummer. He's expensive. But I was up there in northern Arizona, and Mike just DM'd me. He's like, hey, man, if you're in Arizona,
slide on down.
And I was like, sure, I'd love to. Then I get outside the car, and it's freaking like 110 degrees. It's a mess down there.
So, Matt, it's about the ballers, actually, right now.
Right.
So
I did bring it up.
He teed me up.
Basically, I grew up with Jason. We all worked together at a gaming company in Scottsdale for almost a decade.
Part of a decade, yeah.
And we, so that's how we got to know each other. We played fantasy there. We spent way too much of our paid work hours that he ran the company, so his money, talking fantasy, thinking about fantasy, torturing people that didn't like fantasy with fantasy talk. Mm-hmm. And eventually, Mike and I just started a podcast for our league. And it was for
just you and Mike.
Yeah, me and Mike started for our league.
For
10 other people. It wasn't a public facing podcast, it was just, we're going to get on there. We'll talk about our league. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to make it ridiculous.
And it was great. It was outstanding to listen to just them trashing our moves, trashing our team, trashing everyone in the league. You would literally care how you performed in the league so that you'd make the podcast the next week. It was just really fun. Just for our intimate group.
So it was like Belichick on a Monday.
Right.
You want to make sure you weren't getting skewered.
But Jason,
you were in the league, but not on the show.
I was in the league, but not on the show that was about our league.
Yeah.
It was after that when they turned it forward facing that I came on, and it made it more of a fantasy football advice show. But I think that there's the roots there of how free you are when you're just doing it for your 12 buddies. You know, There was no buttoned up, tight laced like feel to the show.
The man,
the man wasn't there, and so it gave the example of what these two could do when it comes to just having fun talking about fantasy. And I think that helped make that transition work well.
It was definitely birthed out of the community aspect of fantasy. Like, that's the fun part. The connection with the friends, the ridiculous lording victories over each other for no good reason other than that's what you're supposed to do. And so that's what the show was born out of. And that's what, you know, we committed to doing a year-round fantasy football podcast from the beginning. I think we launched the show in February, like right after the Super Bowl, which is probably not when people think you should launch a football podcast. But, you know, it was because we wanted content at that time of the year. And so we've just committed to, you know, doing the same show and providing that fun, entertaining, hopefully mostly accurate content all the time. And yeah, you got to come be a part of the early days. And then we're in a studio in North Phoenix now, and it's fun.
Do you remember one of your favorite, like the moment you first created a bit? Right? Because I think all of us, like, you remember, like, your whether it worked or not,
your first bit or joke.
And you were like, oh, I'm so deep into this niche thing that I am now making inside jokes within what you may consider an inside joke.
This guy right here is famous for a lot of grammatical errors.
That's true.
Do you have Grammarly?
No, please keep it away because it helped the show. But we call him the grammatical entrepreneur because he takes things into directions that you just don't expect.
And it's kind of like Shakespeare, if you've ever heard of it.
He coins new words all the time, like inefficient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a new one from this week. He wasn't sure he was wrong.
He's still doing it.
But I remember withstanding victories. That's the one that jumps out to me. He's just in the middle, because he gets passionate, he gets excited.
I'm riled up talking about, whether you would take a guy, I forget who it was, who was suspended for a couple games. And I was saying, if you could get a good value and just in those 4 weeks withstand victories, and then Mike chimes in, like,
I can always withstand victories.
And it became this moniker.
Yeah, we've got t-shirts made with it. And I would say an early successful, the David Johnson bit. We were super high on David Johnson. This is before he was an Arizona Cardinal, before he was drafted. And then he goes to our hometown Cardinals, and we were in love, and Mike is
David Johnson!
We start singing that every time we mention David Johnson.
It just came out. I was so happy.
And it's great because then we'd get messages from people, you know, they're at a bar watching the game somewhere in the country, and they sing David Johnson, and guy across the bar goes, oh, hoo, hoo, hoo. So it's, you know, these fun little bits that bring people together.
I love it. So obviously I mentioned that you guys have created this fantasy empire, right? And we are blessed to have you with us. But for those listeners who may not be as familiar with your individual personalities, this is not on the outline, so do not look to it for help. I'm just riffing.
There's
here.
An outline?
I was going to say, I don't have an outline.
That's what Matt says before every episode,
too.
Don't worry about it. I usually open
in about 5 minutes before we start, too.
So if you were cast in a movie, who is playing you? Not necessarily based
Chris
on look,
Pratt.
But...
Just throwing that out there.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, Chris Pratt.
He had that one ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, it's just
You've been asked this before?
My wife, she is always saying that I remind her of Chris Pratt. And I think that someday when I get Jurassic Park yoked, then that'll make more sense now. I'm more Andy Dwyer.
She may not want to be reminded of that version of Chris Pratt.
So that's who I would have play me.
Chris Pratt. All right, Andy.
Coach. Craig T. Nelson.
Yes!
I love
it.
Perfect.
So good.
Yeah. So Coach was a show that was around before you.
I'm the dad of the group. So, I mean, what greater TV dad than he was in Parenthood? That'll work for me. And he's old. They always call me old. Yeah. I'm the youngest of the group.
He's the
whitest,
really?
But I'm the oldest of the
version.
Group, right?
Okay.
You wouldn't have known that.
No, not at all.
No, nobody would.
Do you want a Werther's? I have a Werther's with me.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
Always.
Now, this answer, I'm interested in this.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I'm thinking about it. Now, can I put, like, the cool age technology where it makes them look a bit younger?
You can do whatever you want here.
Okay, well, then I'm going to go with John Stamos.
All right.
Because he's a bit too old. That's not
what we're having an issue with. I don't think you look.
What are you talking about?
I don't think you look similar at all.
We have been comped with the Full House.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, no,
that's happened.
We're answering this question, and I went with John Stamos, and that was the reach. But Jason picking Chris Pratt.
Oh, that's not
a reason. Chris Pratt went through like a renaissance. Like Chris Pratt now, married to that Schwarzenegger chick, is not the same Chris Pratt as he was before he found fame and fortune.
And he did say Andy Dwyer.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt.
And they bought in on that one.
What do you mean? Why can't I be Jurassic Park Chris Pratt?
So John Stamos, great.
Yeah, there you go.
Coach T, John Stamos, and Chris Pratt.
We've had the full house comparison because I'm
he's the Danny Tanner.
Danny Tanner. You're the Joey.
Oh, cut it
And
out.
Then he just defaults to John Stamos again.
Yeah, default.
It always comes back to Stamos.
Don't act like they're not mad about it.
I was going to go Dwayne Johnson, but...
Yeah.
So John Stamos obviously had a lot of catchphrases. Catchphrases can be considered strategies. Let's move into some football talk here.
Professional transition.
Our listeners have listened to Matt and I honk about all of our strategies. Wait on QB, drum beats... Running back doesn't matter, et cetera, et cetera. Maurice Harris is a star in the making. All of these things.
It's a new one.
It's a new one. We're working it out. It's workshopping.
Did you say Chris Hogan? Is that what the...
Same thing.
Okay, same thing.
So what are some of your strategies when... I mean, we're in draft season. So let's talk about strategies first for draft season. And then if you want to talk about in-season strategies that you're particularly passionate about, we can do that too.
Yeah. I think one of the things that, you know, we're with you on the late round quarterback thing. I think just all of us are. But one of the things that I've had a lot of success with is trying to identify that sneaky good tight end at the back of the draft through, you know, I feel like those guys flash in the preseason. Like it's hard to read too much into what happens in the preseason vanilla offenses. But sometimes the athleticism of those tight ends, I can remember like Julius Thomas, right? Like that preseason with Peyton Manning, nobody knew who he was. And he starts, Peyton's going to him over and over again. And there's just nothing quite like having a fantasy team where you paid nothing for this tight end that ends up in that upper echelon.
George Kittle.
Yeah, George Kittle last year was another good example of that. If you bought in early, if you spent up your fab dollars on Kittle early, it felt good. So I'm always trying to figure out who that next, you know, maybe it's Mark Andrews this year. I don't know. But I mean, that's the top
you,
of the
who's
list
the guy
for me.
This year, because this year it's kind of they're all those former guys like Kelsey, Kittle, even some of the hopeful guys like Howard, Henry, they're all expensive this year. So who's our guy this year?
I think it's Andrews. Andrews is that guy right now for me. It's, you know, he looked like the best tight end of that group they drafted. And then all the news has been good so far this year. Nobody really wants to buy into the passing offense in Baltimore, which I don't blame them for. But Andrews, like Kittle, big play guy. You know, you might only need one or two if he can get open. So I don't mind taking like a, you know, last pick shot on Andrews and seeing what I got and then going to the waiver wire.
I think it's ironic you said that. And I love you said that because today, or I should say last week.
Is he here?
I posted. He's not here.
Come on, Mark.
We did a positional strategy series, and I had tight ends. And Mark Andrews was my late round value pick.
There you go. I love it.
Two plays over 60 yards last year as a rookie. So I am buying in as well. However, one of the questions that I was tasked with answering was which key stat do I use when evaluating tight end value? And I felt like that was a tough one to answer for tight ends. I said routes run is obviously important because I want to see their blocking to receiving ratio, right? But ultimately, target share is so massive because when you look at Ertz and you look at Kittle, there is an opportunity for regression here, especially given their early round draft cost. And when you look at Jared Cook, right? I think you guys, in fact, on an episode last week, discussed Jared Cook and how he, yes, had an amazing opportunity, but also had the skills to capitalize on that opportunity, despite maybe not having been so consistent leading up to 2018. So, what stat are you looking at in terms of numbers, not just the preseason for tape, sure?
Yeah, I mean, I like those two that you brought up. I also just want my guy on the field, you know, when you're in a rotation.
Percentage.
Yeah, snap percentage would be something I'd be looking at just for opportunity. If you're on the field, you get to third down. At tight end, you just don't want to be in that goose category where you get that, you know, Ebron last year even did it a couple times where his snap percentage isn't really high. He was great, obviously, but you still sometimes could get hit with a zero from your tight end, and that's what'll really kill you on the week. Most of the time, you're not, you know, you face Kelsey once a year probably in your fantasy league, but you don't want the goose at the tight end position.
Yeah, and Mark Andrews, I mean, last year when he kind of broke out after Lamar Jackson came, his snap percentage was in the 30s, which you could make the argument, oh, that's terrible, he outperformed, but you could also make the argument, he was a rookie, mm-hmm. probably averaging about 35% of the snaps. And now I think we'd expect him to be up 60s, 70s. Maybe, you know, he can become an every down player. And so, yeah, breakout potential is there.
Over under 70 targets for Mark Andrews.
That's a good line.
I go over.
Yeah, I think over 70.
I got him leading the team in targets.
What do you have? How many receptions? I've around 55.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'll take 55 from Mark Andrews. That would be nice.
The beautiful part is they spent a first-round pick on Hayden Hurst, yeah. And he's like 28 Hayden years old already. we're just not even going to like talk about that because they're going to hit on the third
like
round.
Like Giants Bain. He's canceled.
Yeah. strategy?
Jason, give me
a strategy. So the two things that come to mind is I'm going to avoid risk in the early rounds like the plague. My risky, high upside, but high chance of busting. I love those picks in the late end of the draft. But when I'm using a first or second round pick, that is all I usually think about is just like, look, they're all great. They all have upside. That's why they're in the first round. So, you know, when you're talking about a contract situation, you know, even a month ago before it started to get really serious with Melvin Gordon, we started talking about, like, I'm not drafting Melvin Gordon there because he's, you know, I love him. He was my number five running back. But risk aversion, why take a risk on that when the guy right behind, when David Johnson doesn't carry that?
Well, you brought up Doug Baldwin, too, like just people wanting to buy the injury dip on Doug Baldwin. You've been, you know, you jump in on it because of the what if. I mean, the powerful what if in fantasy. This year, maybe it'll be AJ Green. Like, ooh, when will he come back?
I'm trying to not do it.
Right?
Like, I'm really trying to not do it.
But he's sitting there, and it's tempting.
Don't do it. And then injury off.
Although that is a, you know, if it gets late enough, the risk aversion factors change, right?
Right, sure. I mean, if it's the eighth round and I'm not sacrificing a super high quality pick, then sure. But I'm trying to learn lessons from Doug Baldwin last year. And then the other one, it's really obvious. It's not like a strategy for at your draft, but it's something that hopefully people are doing. If they're not, it's the number one best way to improve. It's just mock drafting. Like, you have to be doing mock drafts so that you have the experience of what happens if I go tight end here? What happens if I try to get a fifth round quarterback? What happens if I go running back, running back, running back? Do I hate? You know, mock drafting just sets you up and it's different every year. So it's like, if I mock drafted a ton last year and I was prepped and I've kept up with the news, I might not feel like I need to do mock drafts this season, but you really do need to get in there and
take your reps.
You can play best ball on Yahoo Fantasy.
Even better. Best ball is because
then it's for real.
For real. Do it on our app and cut me the check, Yahoo. Come on.
Mike, what do you have to add?
For draft strategies,
go Stamos.
Yes, behave.
My God!
I mean, I'm waiting for the have mercy. I'm like,
he was ready.
Chomping
he
in the bit
ready.
For it. I'm a patient lady.
I like to do a couple things. Vacated targets. I like to look out for new opportunities for players. When we're talking about tight ends, the guy, like, he's not really late anymore because too many of us are talking about doing the Vance dance a little too often, but Vance McDonald has a huge opportunity in Pittsburgh with Antonio Brown gone. His direct competitor, Jesse James, is gone now as well. So I like looking for those opportunities.
225 targets
in Detroit,
vacated.
Right?
He paid him a lot of money to draft a tight end. Like
and Vance McDonald, he can be a big play guy as well. I mean, we saw him steal the soul of another man. On his huge stiff arm run.
Chris Conte, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Never forget. And then digging through the hype train and the coach speak, where it can be very difficult because everyone likes to say positive things about their players. What they don't like to say generally are negative things about players. So I take those far more to heart when you start hearing a coach is upset.
You hear that, Josh Rosen?
That is a sticky subject.
Rosen's in the stream right now.
Yeah. So other than Josh Rosen, because I don't think he had fantasy relevance prior to these tidbits, is there a player that you're hearing a negative, to use one of Matt's phrases, drum beats on? A reverse drum beat?
Not particular. Off the top of my head for negativity, but two positive places to really be wary of. Anything that comes out of Seattle,
of course.
Like, beware anything, and same with Miami. So generally speaking, that media group down there,
they get excited.
They, I like that they love their team and they're supporting the skill players, but there's, how many off seasons does Devontae Parker have to be the winner?
He owns them. Number one fantasy wide receiver this time of year.
Yes, and it's been the same thing. So just those two camps in particular, be very wary of.
Does that mean you're in or out on Kalen Ballage?
I am in because that's not what I'm buying into is what the team is doing. I'm not buying into beat reporter A over here saying, well, I'm loving what I'm seeing out of Kalen Ballage. No, it's Kalen Ballage was the starting running back.
There's the absence of hype too factor for like the Lindsey Drake situation's a little bit the same where you just
Freeman?
Philip Lindsey, where you don't hear much about Lindsey. I'm sorry, And then much about Kenyon Drake where you know, you're hearing about Ballage, you're hearing about Royce Freeman, you're having that reinforcement factor and you're not hearing the other side of it. So both of those situations, you don't have as much confidence in the RBBC, the Lindsey, the
Where's
Drake.
I just want to take your temperature on since we're talking about these kind of question marks surrounding different backfields. What about Tampa Bay? Now that's kind of a hot button issue for a lot of people.
I can say that I find myself more and more. So early in the offseason, I still thought Peyton Barber was a value because he's the starting running back for a team, and he's pretty much borderline undrafted. He's several rounds behind Ronald Jones. But the more and more that situation keeps developing and you say, okay, they both have a chance, they're both going to split into each other, I'm kind of out on both guys. I don't believe Ronald Jones is going to be a great NFL player. I didn't last year. You know, I said he was going to be a bust right off the bat. So I'm kind of sticking to that. But if he gets 75 more carries, which isn't that much more because he had nothing, then he's going to eat into Ronald Jones.
So he gets 75 total carries.
He's going to eat into Barber.
If he clears 2.0
yards.
He's going to
eat into Peyton Barber, and they're both just going to be worthless.
Well, and that's the issue on Jones, though, is that you've seen a lot of running backs with less talent do succeed because of circumstance, and so that is something that we're certainly tracking. Like, is there going to be more hype one way or the other on which of these backs?
I don't think Barber controls anything in this situation, basically, because he doesn't have the ability to do so. Jones can both win and lose the job for himself with pass protection, fumbling, big plays could get him more time on the field, and we're used to. I mean, Bruce Arians was our head coach out in Arizona for years and years and years. He has Andre Ellington. I know, you know, I'm not talking about Ellington as a fantasy value, but as a disruptor of that backfield, as a player that will be in on third down, he started in Arizona as the RB1 for Arizona for one season, injury-prone guy. But, you know, old school coaches, they've got their guys, and if he steals some third downs away, I just don't know how productive any of those guys will be.
Yeah, and I'm still good taking Peyton Barber. It's a dirty deed, but someone's got to do it.
God bless you.
Exactly. And Bruce Arians, I mean, we saw him draft David Johnson. We all watched David Johnson be by far the more explosive running back than Ellington and Chris Johnson. But both of those guys had to get injured before David Johnson got on the field because David Johnson had so many mistakes. He was fumbling the ball. He was missing his assignments. And if there were a few knocks on Ronald Jones coming out of college, it was his pass protection is bad, and he fumbles, and he can't catch the ball. Like, those were the big hits on him. So I lean more that Arians would stick with that philosophy of, you keep messing up, I'm just going to put the player on the field who maybe you're more talented than him, than Peyton Barber is, but that doesn't matter because I know I can rely on what Barber does.
So you're
does.
Saying come Thanksgiving, it's going to happen. Ronald Jones season starts after Turkey Day. This is what's happening.
That's I don't think I said that at all.
That is exactly what you're saying. I refuse to.
I think she heard something completely different.
Yeah. What?
Are you all in on Rojo? You're a Rojo believer.
I am listening to the drum beats. I was last year. But you know what? I'm not going to apologize for any of this. It is a work in process. It is a situation that's developing. But you know who did apologize was Le'Veon Bell to his fantasy owners from last year for having sat out the entire season. Before we get into this, and we're going to ask each of you to give a fantasy apology from a take you had last year.
Yeah.
But Matt, you haven't said much, which has been delightful.
So let's mix that up a little bit.
I know you have particular feelings. Matt gets big feelings about stuff.
Yes.
And this is something that's hashtag triggered you.
I have never needed anything less apologies from players to fantasy owners, these whiny goofballs out there about you don't owe us an apology. You don't owe anyone an apology. Because let me tell you what, these snakes out there, that's what they are. They're going to come back and they're not going to support you forever just because you apologized one time. Like, let me tell you, Melvin Gordon, remember, he issued an apology last year.
Yeah, and I felt that one.
Agreed.
Cool. And you two are normal, lovely, well-adjusted humans. But I bet you a lot of...
That is not what you say when the record button isn't on. But...
Mike is here. We have guests. And let me tell you, a lot of those people are like, oh, so cool. Melvin Gordon apologized. He really cares about his fantasy owners. Do you think they're all saying that now that he's about to screw their teams this year? No, probably not. So it doesn't buy you any goodwill. It's just a waste of time. We all have to go through this performative exercise on Twitter where we think it's so cool. I've never needed anything less. You don't owe us anything.
Here's who I want an apology from. Coaches. Coaches can control, like, it'd be like, I'm sorry, I want to pass the ball more. I want to pass at the goal line. I'm thinking about fantasy, not winning my NFL games. That's what I want.
You want the Adam Gaze apology for Kenyon Drake?
Yes, I really do.
Adam Gaze owes a lot of apologies.
Yeah.
And I worry that he's going to owe an apology on Lev Bell at the end of this year.
He already owes him an apology.
Yeah. So.
That's a good point.
That's already started. That's
fair. For not wanting him.
Yeah. Right. I'm sorry I didn't want you.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our takes. I'm going to go first and just get it out of the way. I was very wrong about the quarterback competition in Cleveland.
Oh, can we share this one?
That was going the same one.
I wrote sentences that included Ty God will rise this fall and look a lot like the 2017 version of Alex Smith in the process.
Ooh.
I also wrote a line that
you wrote receipts on yourself.
I sure did. Wow. I'm a self-aware human.
This is really therapeutic.
I also wrote, but Taylor's wheels, like the Cadillac of minivans, are what really fuel his fantasy fire. I went all in. I will own it. I was wrong about Baker Mayfield. I think you're overpaying for Baker again this year, but that's a separate story. So, mea culpa.
Can I jump in on that
apology? Yeah, Andy, hit me. Make me feel better.
I believed that Hugh Jackson was stupid like a fox and would keep him in there. And it was the narrative of the rut. He doesn't have to do much through the air because all he has to do is a little on the ground.
Yep.
And he tried.
He did try. Even after
for quite some time.
Even after Baker took over, he's like, I'm gonna have to go to tape on that one.
But what I failed to foresee, or they would say listen to from them, was simply this: look, as soon as one thing goes sideways for him, it would be over. I thought he'd be the bargain at the end of the draft.
Yes.
But I like to tell these guys, the injury, you know, we're not as culpable as we could be because of an unfortunate injury. Otherwise, we would have been super right, obviously.
Cool. Yeah. But you get three chances, you know, right? And he only got one because of the injury. There's definitely
he only got one because of the number one pick. Yeah, the number one draft pick in the NFL.
He just needed to win that first game.
Wasn't
going to
go on the field and then come off.
That would really change things, would it not have?
I mean, he did actually go out and have like a good fantasy game in week one, but he also completed like 37.5% of his passes.
Yeah, I don't look at his statistical output so much, the passer rating, those things. I think his QBR was 33 on the year. But I owe in a formal. I'm coming clean.
Is this going to be yours as well? Are we going to share this apology?
Yeah, we're sharing it because I had to go to Tyrod. I haven't addressed it since last year. A formal apology for the Tyrod recommendation. There was too much that could go wrong, even though there was potential for right. There was too much that could go wrong to endorse him. It still feels terrible to say.
I feel like there was too much that could go wrong and very little that could have gone right.
I think it went about as right as it could have gone for you, to be honest. All right, Harmon, are you up?
Am I up?
You don't have to ask my permission. When do you ever ask my permission to talk?
Well, you never know. I'm really trying to put it on for the guests here.
For sure. Matt, go ahead.
I think that one thing I need to apologize for, and I feel like I've apologized for this many times, is that last year I was really off Juju Smith-Schuster completely, right?
Mm.
And that was a bad look for me.
How'd it pan out?
Well, it didn't pan out well because he was pretty awesome. He was great. And here's the thing, though, because it's not enough to just apologize for something. As someone who's growing and developing as a human being, you know, especially when it comes to being with other people in society, I think that one thing I'm also realizing is you can't just apologize. You also have to learn from your mistakes. You also have to not do it again. It's one thing to say you're sorry, but if you're just going to keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Out on Juju again?
No. What I'm saying is I'm not going to make the same mistakes okay. as I have previously. And that actually comes to the point of, I know what I did wrong here. What I did wrong was I emphasized 2 points. I thought there wasn't going to be enough volume, and I thought that his statistics, like efficiency-wise, catch rate, whatever, would regress. But it doesn't matter because he was a good player in a good offense, and I'm learning from that mistake this year, and that's why I'm not out on Calvin Ridley, because I think similar situation. Some statistics will regress. Good offense, good player. I'm going to bet on that this time. Hmm. I'm going to learn from my mistakes.
You know, it's a trap sometimes to look at that second wide receiver on the team, because as a fantasy player, you want the opportunity for this magical, you're the only guy on my team, Julio Jones situation. And that's gotten me before, you know, being out on Eric Decker when Brandon Marshall was the one in New York or something like that.
Along those lines, but before we go to Jason's apology, Mike or Jason, feel free to chime in on this. But what is your take then on the Tyler Boyd situation?
I think that Tyler Boyd is a good wide receiver. I don't think he's the number one. So I'm not expecting him to be turn into an elite wide receiver now that it's essentially he's going to be the guy for multiple weeks to start the season. But his target volume is more guaranteed. He I think, needs Batman on the field where to increase the scoring opportunities, just be a better offense and have him be a key cog in that. I don't think that he can be the big cog, so to speak. So
yeah,
he's a safe pick, though, as long as his ADP doesn't start ballooning because people are expecting big things for 4 weeks from Tyler Boyd. If he stays where he has been going, I think that he's a fair value there as well.
I think his upside is limited without A.J. Green. The offense is hurt as a whole. The scoring opportunities, yeah, the targets will be up, and he might have more receptions without A.J. Green than with him. But overall, fantasy points, I think they're going to be down. And, you know, a lot's been made of the fact that he scored a lot more points in games when A.J. Green was on the field last year than when he was off. But, you know, 2/3 of those games when A.J. Green was gone, Dalton was gone as well. So it's hard to see that sample, but I agree with Mike.
I like that.
So I think we could all agree that the Bengals owe the people of Cincinnati many apologies. But Mike, what is your fantasy apology?
So my fantasy apology, we've been doing this for a while, and I was always, always out on Rob Gronkowski. Every year, I'm not paying up. I'm not going to do it. And then this year, he slipped into the second round, and it was, okay, I'm fine taking the tight end in the second round, which apparently I didn't learn from that because I'm still fine taking Travis Kelce in the second round this year.
When he makes it there.
But, right. But I was, like,
You were very in on Gronk.
I went all in. It was the first hand of the night, and I went all in with Rob Gronkowski. He was my man. I drafted him everywhere. And after week one, I was taking my laps. Like, this is going to be the best call I've ever made. Rob Gronkowski is going to be elite. And it did not work. And now he doesn't play football anymore.
Yeah, but he will come like week 18.
I was going to say, so when he's back in November,
he's not.
Yeah. What are you going to do then? Since you're the Gronk whisperer here.
Look, straight from the source, being my own eyeballs, I was at the ESPYs. I was 10 feet away from Gronk. I mean, basically, we were at the same party. You know, we were at a restaurant.
Close friends.
He does not look like he is.
He's lost a lot of weight.
He is not looking like an elite NFL tight end.
I don't think he's coming back.
Okay.
I've heard some whispers that he has from my sparrows.
Oh.
Yeah. You aren't the only one.
He better start hitting the gym.
It's muscle memory. You saw what Hawk did in like a matter of a month when you're a professional athlete. You can have some of one of Harman's protein shakes.
You better
and
talk
get
to Julian
to
Edelman.
Green juice?
No, that eliminates.
Get a little juice.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Jason, give us your fantasy apology.
Yeah, so my fantasy apology is I bought into the offseason pass-catching hype of Jordan Howard last year.
Mm.
I mean, I was all into the point of, you know, every year we pick our my guys, the guys that we're all in on, and I saw him as the guy that could take that shot at being a top five type of running back, because if he added pass-catching to his 250-plus, you know, yards on the ground, I'm a believer in Matt Nagy and his system. So I made him my guy, and similar to Mike, right, like week one, oh, yeah, five targets. Week two, four targets, that's still good. He's on a pace for 72 targets. And then they realize, like,
no amount of time on the jug machine can fix those hands.
It's a really bad pass catching running back.
Awesome.
It's just, that was the issue. And so then they were like, oh, yeah, Cohen, you're in. Jordan Howard didn't end up being a pass catching back the rest of the way. He sucked. He was the running back 20. So
all three of our apologies, they're either retired or they have new teams. So that's, right. That's kind of
how it go well. But here's the thing. I'm worried that I'm learning right now because Matt Harmon just said, I want to not repeat that mistake, and he likes Calvin Ridley. And I find myself doing the exact same thing with the exact same team and the exact same personnel I did last year because I believed that Matt Nagy really wanted a three-down back, a guy that is going to come in and catch the ball, be a first and second down back. Now they trade up with low draft capital. They didn't have many assets. And then they go get David Montgomery, who has that skill set. So now I'm like, I'm all in. David Montgomery is going to be a pass catcher and the first and second down back. And I'm realizing I might be making the same mistake.
But listen, Jason, sometimes the mistake is the one you didn't make in life. Think about that one for a second, right?
Sometimes
it's the choice you didn't make is the mistake. So I love that you're mentioning the Bears because I want to start an NFC North preview.
Okay.
We'll begin in Chicago, my hometown. David Montgomery, a very hot fantasy topic. Brad Evans, our colleague.
Oh, goodness. He's drooling every day.
Goodness.
Don't even have to set it up. So
I'm glad he's not here for this discussion.
I'm glad he's not here for a few reasons, but that's...
So talk to me about... let's start with David Montgomery, and then if you guys want to each take any, each go, and if you have Bears takes, we'll get to those.
I'll bring the Cohen side of the Montgomery argument, since these guys are, you know, I like Montgomery, but I think sometimes we think we have to pick and choose one guy. And Cohen lined up 20% of the time in the slot last year, 13% of the time at wide receiver. He was the RB13 being drafted at like RB28 now. I just think he's being lost in the shuffle here. He's too good of a player. Tariq Cohen is.
Huh.
So I am concerned that the hype for Montgomery, the high average draft position, is causing people to lose sight of the fact that I think Cohen's a very valuable flex guy that'll probably finish in the top 20. I don't think RB13. Howard, you know, had 250 carries, so it wasn't like, I mean, Cohen wasn't leaning on the running game. He had under 100. So I just think that Matt Nagy's smart enough to use Tariq Cohen frequently, often, put him in space, let him do what he does. And he was actually a pretty consistent running back last year, even though he wasn't the prototypical guy. So that's kind of been my, like, the last week, we've been talking a lot about it. Like, I think David Montgomery, I think they want him on the field all the time. They have two back sets. They have some opportunity for Cohen to still get on the field. So I just don't want Cohen lost in the shuffle, and I have been asked to represent him here.
Matt, yeah. You had thoughts about Cohen, though.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because he's one guy that he kind of is right. I've talked to this several times on the show about like the disgusting rounds 5 through 8 running back range. He kind of starts that off where I start to feel a little like, you know, round 5, do I really want to take Tariq Cohen? But, you know, I've heard you and other analysts kind of make this pitch for him, and I'm starting to feel a little bit better about it because he hasn't gotten too expensive. And also, you know, I expect the Bears to regress defensively because that's just what happens, folks. When you're that good, not be that good.
And you lose your DC.
Yeah. And you lose your defensive coordinator. And so I've been saying, like, shock, I'm back in on Allen Robinson this year because I think they're going to throw more.
Back in like you were out ever?
Fair point. I'm in on Allen Robinson this year because I think they're going to throw more. But that would also lend you to think probably should be taking Tariq Cohen in round 5.
Do you like Cohen more than James White? Because they go similar places in drafts.
I have not really found myself taking either, to be honest, or at least prioritizing one or the other. But I think if I was to take one, if I'm in a scenario where I'm considering either one of those guys in round 5, I probably have not taken a lot of security at running back early. So for that reason, I think I'd go with White because I find him to be a little bit safer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would as well.
My problem with Cohen, we're talking Cohen, and we want to talk about regression. I mean, it's his rookie year, but only 6.7 yards per reception. What he did last year, I don't think people realize was like historic. Since the year 2000, there's only 8 instances of a running back who has 70 or more receptions and cleared the 10 yard per reception mark, which he did, meaning he was awesome
last year.
And it works against him on this show.
Well, it definitely works against him because I don't see him clearing 10 yards per reception again. And I do see David Montgomery eating at least into some of that, where let's say he drops from 91 targets that he had last year, with similar to the Peyton Barber, Ronald Jones discussion. It doesn't take a lot of work to be siphoned by David Montgomery to all of a sudden Tariq Cohen is not even close to worth his draft price. I mean, you take 15 to 20 targets away. That's a huge, huge hit for Cohen.
Any other Bears?
The biggest question to me with the Bears is Trubisky, because I love Allen Robinson as a talent. I love Anthony Miller. Tariq Cohen is great. Taylor Gabriel as, you know, just a burner. I like Matt Nagy. I like everything about this offense except Trubisky, the quarterback.
It's a Chicago way, friend, not since Sid Luckman.
It's just one of those things where it's like there's so much lined up where maybe he comes out and he takes that level up. That
maybe he grows
step,
like we're
he's
trying
a superstar.
To grow,
you know? Because with Nagy and these weapons, he should be awesome for fantasy, and he runs the ball. So Trubisky is one of the biggest question marks in the entire NFL to me, because I don't believe he's a really great quarterback. I think he's an average quarterback at best, and if he's only average with all those weapons, it works against each one of them because they're all going to be involved. Tariq Cohen and Anthony Miller and Taylor Gabriel are going to take away from Allen Robinson and vice versa, and so it's like I find myself drafting no pass-catching Bears at all, because I don't believe in Trubisky, but I do recognize that the world exists where Trubisky proves that take wrong, and then there's immense value. He's too inaccurate to me.
So he can be so to this point, I agree with 100% of what you're saying. Where is the consideration for Trey Burton as a post-type sleeper then? Because if you are going to make a quarterback efficient, why not do it with a big body, even if volume and targets are sort of an issue? And not for nothing, I think 8 times last year, and this is a testament to the tight end position in general, Trey Burton was able to put up top 12 numbers.
He's a perfect post-type sleeper. It takes tight ends a while to learn a brand new system. You see that when rookies come in. And so he's a perfect post-type sleeper. Nobody wants him. He's free. You can have him at the end of drafts. And when you're comparing Trey Burton to other tight ends in that range, I like Trey Burton there. That would be a good when he was bringing up Mark Andrews, I was thinking of Trey Burton because he burned people last year.
Hashtag burn.
He was rude.
Yeah, he's
Does
not
he
getting
owe you
the Christmas
apology?
Card. He owes me an apology for sure, 100%. But actually, I think Trubisky
Burton,
owes me the apology.
At least the price for Burton or Miller, if you want a shot at what if with Trubisky, the price is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Miller not hurt this year.
Oh,
he had that separated shoulder.
Season.
And I think the issue is the fear of the touchdown regression for Miller, right? Mm-hmm. Because his end zone target share was 20%. It wasn't great, right? But then he scored 13 touchdowns. It was 13 end zone targets and 7 touchdowns.
He was a great red zone receiver in college, too.
Hurt, you know?
Second round pick. I mean,
and
he's
good available.
Good player.
I think you can get him in the 11th or 12th round of 12 team exercises. So let's stay with you, Jason, because you talked about my guy of 2018 last year. It's interesting that you didn't equate Jordan Howard to your guy this year in some ways, because it's Kerryon Johnson,
who is
definitely a better pass catcher. I'm not going to go there. His pad level we can talk about later.
Yeah.
But
the best he's ever been.
He is a much better pass catcher, so it's not an exact comp, but the exit of Theo Riddick obviously leaves his pass catching a bit, like his pass catching opportunities wide open, and that is why you have put him in your top 13?
Yeah. No, actually, I had him in this can sound hot takey. It's really not. It's true belief. When Theo was there, I had Kerryon Johnson as the running back 11. Mm. I believed that Kerryon was taking over that work. And it's not insane at all, because from week 3, where Kerryon Johnson took over the starting job, to week 10, when he got injured, he was like the running back 14. I mean, he was on pace for 210 carries. He was on pace for something like 66 targets. And that was with Theo Riddick there. And so I expected him to take a step forward coming into this year as the presumptive starter. He wasn't the starter last year. It was LeGarrette Blount. He didn't go into camp as the guy. The competition of C.J. Anderson and Zach Zinner, I know they're going to be involved. But he is too good at 5.4 yards per carry. Coming out of college, he was the guy I'm like, man, he is unbelievably talented. And I looked and I looked and I watched so much film on this guy. I really believed. Then you saw it in the NFL. You've already seen him as far as efficiency. When he touches the ball, he is electric. He fantasy points per touch, he was great. Now his touches are going to go up. I think the offensive line is a little bit better. And then Theo Riddick gets out the way. I'm all in. But just all my chips are stacked, and Andy is fighting against me because he's so worried.
Correct. I have an RB 15. So you and I will be on.
This is the kind of situation we're in where giving him a pretty nice RB 2 ranking is a deep personal insult to my colleague for some reason. It just comes down to the circumstances and the way that head coaches look through a different lens, and the fact that this was a team 24th in the league in scoring in a division that's brutal.
Gross
offense. With the Vikings defense and the Bears defense, and the fact that every year you get two or three guys in the top 10 at running back on losing teams that are below 500. Is he going to be out Saquon in that category? Is he going to beat out Mixon in that category to get into that top 10 category? These guys believe that's the case.
I thought we were answering
the
questions.
Wait, what about exposure to the goal line as like a not-so-durable back when you have C.J. Anderson and you have Zach Zenner there? What about game flow? Like, I drafted him as an RB3 last year, but top 13, top 12? Who are you pushing down? Then, okay, the better question is, so Damian Harris not in your top 12.
Williams. Damian Harris is not in my top 12.
Correct. Damian Williams. 100%.
We're going to ask you the hard questions here on the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast.
No, I mean, I can tell you right now, the guys that I've got behind him that people won't like, James Conner, obviously, right now, Melvin Gordon losing games. Damian Williams is a spot behind him. So, I mean, those are the guys. And I'm 50-50. Right now, I've got him behind Joe Mixon in my rankings. But if I'm personally on the clock and I'm looking at those two guys, they're in very similar situations to me. I do think Mixon has a more assured market share within his team for sure. And we've seen it already. But that's a tough call. Hey, anybody want to trade up, get Mixon?
Would it make you feel better to know that I have Kerryon at RB15 in PPR leagues? Would that make you feel any better?
That hurts me deeply.
Sorry. Andy, I'm with you.
Where do you have him, Harmon? You're so quiet.
Oh, he doesn't rank. He's a prince. He's not allowed to.
I don't officially rank.
Yeah. Connor or Kerryon?
I feel like Jason kind of has me convinced a little bit.
Johnson.
I was with you that I thought Theo Riddick would not be an issue anyways. I thought he was going to cut one way or another. I didn't think it'd be like an hour after a piece that I wrote about it went live. I didn't think of that was going to happen, but I did expect him to have those targets anyways. But it's tough because you make a good point about the offense, but this bad offense will be based around him. And I don't think it will be so trash. Like, I think they'll be a better offense.
Not if you can't pick up the blitz.
Fair point.
He'll still run out. And
you're not picking up the blitz if you're running out to catch the ball.
So exactly. We're all in agreement that this is going to be a run-friendly offense. The Lions have been very...
Well, they're going to try to. They're going to try to. Yeah.
And they are... So the theory is that Matt Stafford won't want to push or won't be required. None of these adjectives are actually... None of these are right. He won't be directed to push the ball towards Kenny Golladay. He may be required to. He may have to. What do we do about Miles Boykin 1.0?
The passing game is something that I want to stay away from.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the Golladay Jones situation, like that, go get Jones wherever you can get him, because I don't think it's kind of like a target agnostic, goal line agnostic situation there for me. Like, I think Stafford's going to throw it to whoever's open, and you're going to have Jones weeks, you're going to have Golladay weeks, but you're going to pay more for Golladay. So, you know, this is gone are the Calvin Johnson Stafford days. Gone are the guaranteed 4,000 plus, you know, seasons. They say he was banged up last year. I wouldn't be surprised if he's better this year than last year. But again, tough division, not a lot of confidence in what Patricia's putting out there on offense right now. And you can want to run the football, but what happens when you're down at halftime? What happens when those, you know, Hugh Jackson wanted
you
Isaiah
throw
Crowell
to carry on. That's what you
they wanted
do.
Isaiah Crowell to have 560 carries in Cleveland. It didn't happen because you're down by three touchdowns at halftime. I don't know what
it's like. Mike Tyson says everyone's got a plan to get punched in the face.
That's true.
You said earlier about, you know, the number two in a high flying offense can kind of throw you off there. And I look at Kenny Golladay and I think, yeah, I could get the number one receiver on this very low volume offense, or a little bit later, I can get
the number
Chris
one
receiver.
Oh no!
I could go get Chris Godwin in Tampa Bay, or Calvin Ridley in Atlanta, or I could get DJ Moore in Carolina, the number two in that high flying.
Oh,
office.
So, sneaking that one in there.
It's just a little bit of a debate there.
I'm in on Marvin Jones. I'm back in on Marvin Jones. If you look at his opportunity last year compared to 2 years ago when he was an elite fantasy player, he was a wide receiver one in a lot of scoring formats. Everything was the same for Marvin Jones. They just a little bit of the efficiency bit him in the butt, where he didn't come down with as many 50-50 balls in the end zone, which he was. I mean, he was.
And then he got like, hurt.
He was Tyler Lockett-ing 2 years ago before Tyler Lockett did it, and it was like I'm saying, the pace was the same. His air yards, 900 air yards in 9 games when he was great, 1600 air yards. Like literally, all of his opportunity metrics are the same. Were the same last year as they were 2 years ago, but now he's written off because Kenny Golladay is allegedly
the pretty new thing.
He's the new hotness, and he's the number one. Where I don't think they have a number one wide receiver.
Mike, if you were choosing between Geronimo Allison in like the 9th round,
mm-hmm,
and or MVS in the 10th round, which one of these two Green Bay Packers, that's where we're going next, are you buying? Or is the answer neither?
No, I'm Team Geronimo.
Really?
Yes.
Geronimo?
He's wrong.
He's wrong.
So you think that like a 6'3", 196-pound receiver who's only spent 12% of his time in the slot in back-to-back seasons because it is going to be the third, the number two, number three, I guess, in this offense?
It's nice when someone tells you you're wrong in a question.
Yeah, I love it.
I loved it, too. Because
and you know he's only there because he's not a good enough separator to be on the outside.
The guy who was averaging 75 you know yards that. A game before he got hurt?
Things happen.
I like him because I have seen him do it with Aaron Rodgers. I've seen him have success, and I haven't seen Marquez. Okay, that's fine. How much success have you seen MVS have?
He had some moments last year before he got phased out or whatever.
Yeah,
oh, man, that started running his routes correctly. So he's okay with Aaron.
That Patriots game, he was dominant.
No, you have every right to pick him. I mean, that was the question. I mean,
I'm just saying, you're a cheaper guy.
And it's not. Yeah. It's not well. In the 9th or the 10th round, that's me going to Jack in the Box saying, do I want the two tacos or am I going to pay up for the cheeseburger? I mean, the price difference is so negligible at that point.
Did he say Del Taco?
He said Jack in the Box.
Which
also, like, yikes. There's no reason you should be a Jack in the Box, and there's probably no reason you should be
you can get two tacos for a dollar, my man. You should do, my man.
I've never been to Jack in the Box.
You guys haven't lived.
You really? You've lived out here this long and you've never been to Jack in the Box?
You've never just accidentally found yourself after...
At a Del Taco, but not a...
Del Taco's got to go. It's an experience 2 times for Jack in the Box. On the way in, on the way out.
I was going to say,
But, and I'll trust Aaron Rodgers, who is incredible throwing 2 slot wide receivers. I mean, he's one of the best of all time when it comes to passer rating.
Well, I mean,
to your point, and this is why I ask you, because it's not an easy choice, and that's why there are so many, quote, experts who are split. But as Aaron is aging, we've seen him have nagging injuries over the seasons. There's a new head coach, in theory, in town. Is he going to want...
But Aaron Rodgers is still there, right?
He is.
So the head coach is still
Aaron Rodgers
intact.
So they're sharing this position. They're co-managing the team.
Co-manager.
And I would imagine that as he's aging and maybe wanting to protect himself, maybe he does want a receiver that's working on the inside more than having to funnel it on the outside as much, especially if Davante Adams, I mean, we'll talk about defensive pressure and talent, but Davante Adams is going to be the guy. Matt made this point on the pod last week, and I thought it was actually quite astute. Maybe everybody just cannibalizes each other after Aaron Jones and Davante Adams.
I think that's a worthy thing to think about because you kind of get into this bad habit with Rodgers or Brady sometimes of the next guy is going to be the next, Gronkowski. It's going to be the next,
Lacoste.
Yeah. <Let's go. laughs> Because we've seen, James Jones and Jordy Nelson, maybe they're better, maybe Jordy's pretty good and maybe you just can't replace them overnight. And it takes time. I think we've seen this with Aaron Rodgers and these rookies. Like it takes time to build that rapport a little bit. And The only thing, the reason I have a little bit more confidence in MVS, and I think both guys can be drafted late and take that shot, why not, is that Rodgers, he just likes to buy time and wait for that guy downfield. And MVS is such a burner with such natural talent. And so I lean the direction of the big play, because if they do cannibalize each other, give me the big play opportunities, not the slot guy.
Yeah, he's, what, 6'4", ran a 4.37. I mean, Aaron Rodgers said a lot of great things about him this offseason, said he's an every down player. That's what he's saying about MVS. And, yeah, I mean, Geronimo got off to an awesome start last year. The first four games before he got injured, he was averaging 76 yards a game. So, I mean, they can both be good. But if you're just looking at small samples, I mean, MVS had a four-week stretch where he was averaging 79 yards a game.
Yes.
And so now that they
did he get hurt and then have give me an excuse?
No, he didn't.
But during those weeks, MVS, I mean,
but he was a rookie.
He
was a rookie, and he's got more physical talent. I went back because I wasn't sure. I was Team Geronimo for starting the season. I was like, he was my sleeper pick, but with everything that was coming out of Green Bay, all the beat reporters talking him up, I went and I watched a bunch of interviews. So then I went and I rewatched every snap on MVS and Geronimo, and I made a complete flip. I just thought, the guy on the outside is the more valuable fantasy asset in this system. I know we've seen Randall Cobb dominate from the slot, but MBS has crazy burner speed, and he's talking about this new system. They're finally using him with that speed. Last year, they had all these games where
he was the slot guy. He was the slot guy.
Exactly, and they were using him near the line of scrimmage, thinking maybe his speed could, run away from guys, but they weren't using him right. So I think MBS can be a breakout player this year.
The take is Devontae Adams, wide receiver, one overall.
Yes, that's
the take.
Is the Aaron Jones hamstring issue, I know that we all get a little bit worried about those soft tissue issues, is that anything right now to move the needle? Are you just ignoring it? Are you paying credence at all to the Dexter Williams hype?
In Dynasty, I'm looking at him, but I still think Aaron Jones is...
It worries me.
Yeah.
It worries me, personally, because, I mean, and I...
Look, he's had injury issues.
Aaron Jones was up on my whiteboard as my guy for this year until about a week and a half ago, and then the hamstring injury came, but I was losing confidence in the snaps. I mean, just enough snaps, and if you're losing time right now, what is that doing? New coaching staff? I do have pause. I love the talent, but sometimes that doesn't matter enough.
Yeah, hamstrings, they just keep coming back over and over, so, I'll move his risk rating up in our ultimate draft kit and make sure that that's, in there, but I still believe, the Green Bay Packers had the lowest rushing attempts in their franchise history last year, which was also the lowest rushing attempts of every team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to repeat that, certainly not with a guy coming in that last year had a pass-to-rush ratio favoring the rush. Aaron Rodgers isn't that style of quarterback that usually throws 650 passes. He's an efficient guy. He's had running backs like Eddie Lacy that can help the team on the ground and open things up for his efficiency. So if they go to middle of the pack, Green Bay, and they're up at 416 total rushing attempts as like the 15th, most in the league, then even if Aaron Jones doesn't take more of the market share, which I think he will get more of the market share, he still rises. The water level will raise all the ships there if they're running more as a team. So I do like Aaron Jones, but hamstrings suck.
It gives you pause. If
the thing is, right now he's so late already.
At him right now, Jay, and here's the running backs going right behind him.
Okay, that's important.
So your opportunity cost of taking Jones means you are not drafting Marlon Mack. You're not drafting Kerryon Johnson.
Oh, yes, I am.
You're not drafting Devonta Freeman. Not drafting Josh Jacobs. I mean, these are all guys.
That's tough. That probably moves the hamstring right now, probably moves him. If I had to draft today, and he's not healthy after several weeks in camp, if I was drafting today, I would probably draft all of those guys. Certainly Kerryon.
Ahead of him. A player that we talk about, another running back, moving to a system that's supposed to be more run-focused. It's obviously the Vikings because it's the last team in the division we haven't discussed. Flip is out of there. Seattle happens. Flip refuses to ground the ball. He gets fired. Now there are all of these running back czars managing this Michigas. Dalvin Cook is one of those players that's been electric when he's on the field, but his availability hasn't necessarily been consistent. I still like him because, running backs get hurt. Like, S happens. So I'm going to lean into the excitement while he's there. What about you? Are you tempering your expectations? Andy, Mike, Jason, any of you?
I'll let Andy's the Dalvin Cook truther. So
yeah. I'm right there with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's just he's going to get goal line. He's going to get passing game. He's going to get it between the tackles, and the team wants to run the football. So then you are only and all the evidence of him on the field has been good fantasy numbers. So you really are only playing the injury game with him. So when you look at somebody that you can take in the second round that can finish in the top six guys in fantasy, I think Dalvin's in that category. So I love him. I pick him up in a lot of drafts right now.
I've got Dalvin as my running back six.
Yeah.
So I am very all in on Dalvin Cook. I mean, I think Andy said it well. We already know he will succeed. We've seen it every time he's on the field. It's just, is he on the field? And that is a question for literally all
running backs. Joe Mixon or Dalvin Cook?
Dalvin.
Wow. Okay.
What about especially after the injuries to Cincinnati's offensive line and
you know. Nick Chubb or Dalvin Cook? Sorry, honey.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, I'll go Dalvin.
I would go Dalvin as well. Yeah.
Oof. That's a tough one for me. That's the one that I'm always debating. Yeah. It feels
I just
like.
Posted a poll about this today.
I didn't check your Twitter. I'm so sorry.
Apologies.
Maybe I'll do it later.
Do you believe that Duke will take some snaps away in third down? And now that we're talking about the Browns, that's what we want to do.
Not meaningful snaps.
Yeah.
What about there? So everyone's in on Dalvin Cook. Mike, where do you? Are you also top six? You can't be that high end.
No. Okay. He's a lot lower for me comparatively. I know that the hype is there, and we have our plugged in inside sources who have said everything is Dalvin Cook. The entire offense is around Dalvin Cook. We'll see. I mean, it's. I know that, yes, all running backs do get hurt, but when you have watched your superstar running back suffer multiple catastrophic injuries, and then you spend a third-round pick getting his backup, and I really like Alexander Mattison. He's not flashy at all, but he's a guy who just can do everything. And
now I know why he likes Peyton Barber.
And get the job done.
I love that you brought. I wanted to ask because a third round pick on Madison is interesting.
It's hard to really glean anything from the couple games where after they made the OC change in Minnesota, there's a real small sample size, and there was some weirdness in there where they played Miami and they blew them out, and everyone had 1,000 fantasy points in that game. So I'm more tempered in this. It's going to be Dalvin Cook all the time because. If they do go that way, he will get hurt again. And some guys' bodies have just proven. And Dalvin Cook he just gets hurt on every level. So I think it would be a mistake of Minnesota to use him in an absolute three down grinder role. If they used him more like Alvin Kamara, I think that would be better for their team.
Are you handcuffing Madison, or are you not wasting a roster spot and doing that ish in week 10?
No, if I'm taking Madison, it's not a handcuff situation. It's because I'm in a deep league, and I'm gonna take him late and see if somehow he does get on the field and he's getting 10 touches.
Okay, right now, Adam, this is the last bit of Minnesota I think we want to discuss. Adam Thielen is being drafted ahead of Stephon Diggs. I feel like that is sacrilege. I'm pretty sure that my colleague here would agree with that estimation.
Don't you always take the guy that scores more fantasy points?
But do you
it depends on where your loyalties lie.
Harmon is so into his brand.
Reality is the reception loyalty
lies. Reality is boring.
I know.
I live in reality in the real world.
We're in reality town over here.
Every year there's the Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen question. Every year Adam Thielen finishes ahead. I'm going to go ahead and just keep with what always happens.
But when you look at the regression,
he has
but
a
this
lot of,
year,
he has the he will lead in targets for sure.
I mean, I think the good thing is that like both of these guys are the right answer. Like right now, I have Minnesota projected 20th in pass attempts in the NFL, and that's enough. It's lower because I think they're going to want to run the ball more. I think we're all in agreement there. But I think the fact that there's just nothing else going on in this offense. You know,
they paying a lot of money to two wideouts and a quarterback. And
I mean, haven't you ever seen an NFL team pay frivolously for perceived talent?
Sure.
Spend a first round pick on a wide receiver you don't ever play?
That's the thing is like, we're talking about Laquon Treadwell, and all these other fools on this roster. Like, there's no one else to catch passes except Diggs and Thielen. So I think both these guys can get to 90 catches. They're both great floor picks. Like, at that 3-4 turn, and they can be your wide receiver too, especially if you take like,
you know, Odell in the round 1-2 turn or something like that, having one of these two guys, either one of them, I'm real cool with.
Yeah, I'm cool with either one.
Yeah, so we argue that Thielen's better than Diggs, which is pretty irrelevant. They're both going to finish near each other.
Well, Diggs is a better player. But
Diggs will score more. Thielen might catch a few
Diggs might be the
passes.
Better player. He will get fewer targets.
I'm just I am interested that you're leaning this way, since I believe it was Andy who said you wanted to focus on the outside receiver who has the big playability when given the opportunity, and that would be a tiebreaker for you. That's what you intimated. And so I agree with that.
That exact thing last year with the Diggs Thielen. And look, Thielen showed the ceiling capability in that first half of the season too. So I like the fact that, you know, we know if this team comes out and Thielen, it's a Thielen game, at least his ceiling is a week winning type
good.
Of week for your team. Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
I think so. That's going to be it for the NFC North. For our listeners, Matt and I will continue to preview each division without the ballers, unfortunately. But
we will try.
This segment ain't going away. Buckle in. But I think we have some questions for you guys. Don't know where those are at, though.
Right here.
What is your name, sir?
First,
in the middle.
First one is from. I got to read these names. I'm never good at that. Someone named Raul says, thoughts on Darius Geis?
Not his year.
Yeah, I'm not.
Sadness.
I'm not digging Darius Geis.
Wish it was his year.
Look, it's similar to me of Jordan Howard being talked up in the passing game. You got a guy coming back off of injury that has struggled. The timeline is not one where you'd expect him to just be perfectly healthy to start the season. You have a guy who rushed for over 1,000 yards in Adrian Peterson who's still there. I don't think they're just going to come in and say, you're the guy, you're all three downs. I don't expect the Redskins to be great. So, I don't think I won't have Geis on a single team.
He was one of our thirst trap players. Yeah. Last
that
week.
That means people are too thirsty for him where we're at.
Okay.
Just so we're clear. I feel like we should explain that one
trying to put it together.
That's how the kids are talking these days.
Yeah.
Thirst trap. Well, he's the youngest one, so he knows. So he's got it.
Yeah. Handy Quacker says, hey, footballers,
Handy
any key
what?
Players. Handy Quacker, that's also apparently something the kids are saying. Hey, footballers, any key players you were keeping an extra eye on during preseason games? Players who would move significantly up or down your rankings based on what you see? If so, what are you looking specifically for?
Great question.
Long question, by the way.
Who wants it?
I didn't write it.
There's probably a handful of players you want to see show themselves as healthy, right? I mean, we're going to see Hunter Henry back on the field for the first time in a while. There's a handful of guys that you'd love to see out there getting snaps, getting opportunities. Anybody jump into mind?
Curtis Samuel.
I can't wait to see Curtis Samuel.
I mean,
as long as he can make it to regular season.
He'll be there.
Ronald Jones is one, and Trubisky, to see both how the utilization is for Tampa Bay and to see if, I want to see with my own eyes, has he leveled up? Because through preseason, you know, you're going to get in totality a game. And I feel like you could watch Trubisky last year and see that he still had so many holes in his game. And so he's one I'm going to keep an eye on.
Throw your eyes on some rookies, too. I'm going to go watch David Montgomery. Go watch Miles Sanders. Go see Damian
Sanders. I really want to see.
If what you believe.
Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, Jacobs. I mean,
that's a guy that we're drafting real high and has never been the number one guy. And I'm in on him.
Right.
Dante Pettis. But you want to see if he's the one, you know.
The one.
I want to see if he's the one
Neo
for me.
San Francisco.
Yeah. I want to watch. I like nebulous running back situations like Buffalo, even though it feels pretty gross to draft a running back from Buffalo, but
I keep doing it though because LeSean McCoy's there in like the 10th round.
Deontay Foreman
that's a good call.
Deontay Foreman's a good one.
Is LeSean McCoy going to be on Buffalo when the season starts?
He's going to make Ronald Jones irrelevant in Tampa Bay.
He might do that.
Jesse Ruiz wants to know, what round are you taking Justin Jackson if Melvin holds?
If he
holds out.
So if we're getting
out.
Closer to the season, I would take Justin Jackson eighth round.
That's exactly what came to mind for me. Because
Eckler's going to get it bumped up to. Yep. I mean, where would you take Eckler then?
I probably won't end up with Eckler because I think
he'll end up with any
get
of
too
them.
Expensive.
Yeah, he's going to end up too expensive if he's out. And the thing with Justin Jackson is I wouldn't expect, you know, unless it's a trade. Unless Melvin Gordon is traded and you know, okay, this is the group, then Justin Jackson will go higher. You're still getting a temporary player in Justin Jackson.
In committee.
in a committee. So, I mean, eighth would be the highest, but I don't think you'll probably have to take him that high. He's still going to be a guy that you can probably grab in the double-digit rounds.
Do you think there's a world in which, so like Todd Gurley is interesting. We haven't really talked about him, but do you think there's a world in which if Melvin Gordon holds out, Austin Eckler, people are going to start taking him over Todd Gurley? Does this ever happen?
No, not that high. No? I don't think.
God, please, not in this region.
Not that gap.
That sounds like a thirst trap.
Well done.
Kinda nailed it there.
Aaron Watson wants to know, do we trust drafting Mahomes in the third round?
No.
And is he the number one quarterback? Sometimes not both things are true. Yes.
No, and probably.
I mean, no, and probably, even though the number one quarterback hasn't repeated in 15 years or something like that.
Right.
I mean, he probably will, but I mean, you always think they will. Right?
Yeah.
Carson Wentz was going to do it and had the chance of finishing that year as number one, and the next year is going to be great. And then, you know,
whoever's number one, then people just take him in the third round, no matter what.
Well, with Tyreek back,
real people
I can't
draft,
imagine.
They actually take him in the first round.
Thing is, if you're drafting
I can't imagine
him
not number one.
If you're drafting him in the third round, it's an okay draft pick if he throws 50 touchdowns again, which is not going to happen. Otherwise,
60. Got it. He's throwing 60.
Right. I mean, otherwise, you're basically drafting him in the third round at his absolute peak ceiling. It's not like, like I think if he throws 50 again, and you draft him in the third, you're not just set up to win. You're just okay.
No, you're set up to withstand wins.
Withstanding victories.
Yeah, withstand those victories. If you knew he was throwing 50, where
no,
would
if,
he?
If you knew he was throwing 50,
it,
you would
was factual like done. Where do you draft him?
I would draft him in the third.
Yeah.
If I knew he was going to throw 5,050, I'll take him at the back of the first round.
Yeah, that's what I would.
But
you know,
he's not going to do that. So you have to hedge the bets, and that's why he's in the third. And I wouldn't take him there.
You wouldn't take him there, but we would take you guys anywhere. Thank you for joining us. Plug your pod, please.
We are the Fantasy Footballers. You can find our podcast wherever podcasts are found.
Yeah.
You can find all of our rankings, all of our articles from our writers, everything at thefantasyfootballers.com as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Check out the Ultimate Draft Kit. We got that going on right now. Got the YouTube channel.
Perception.
Matt Harmon's involved.
Yeah. Help Matt out with some backslashes, I heard.
Yeah, go to receptionperception.com. buy it there.
That's fine. That'll work.
This is my show, damn it.
Receptionperception.com. It's good stuff.
Our show.
Thank you. It can be yours. It can be all yours sometime.
I don't
soon.
Think I can carry this show.
Andy, Jason, that's true. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. We adored having you guys here. Listeners, Matt and I, or maybe just Matt, we'll see how this goes. We'll be back later in the week. You can follow us on Twitter at LizLoza_FF, at Matt_Harmon_BYB, and of course at Yahoo Fantasy. Thanks so much. Win big and we're out.